But Revelation 18, we've done it once. I've talked about the tenses in it, how this is for past presentings in this chapter. I'll do it one more time. And note the hope of the world to cure the oppressions in the world and how all of that is misguided. And that Revelation 18 helps us to see that. Let me just start at verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illumined with his glory, and he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and will never see mourning.' For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong." Let's pray. Lord, you said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, meaning, Lord, acknowledgement of your sovereignty, an understanding of your existence, and a proper respect for that, and a changing of our ways because of it. Because, Lord, you do behold all the deeds of men. And so, Lord, to fear you then would be to seek to be reconciled to you, to not be subject to your anger, to not be alienated from your presence and in danger of judgment. So, Lord, we see in Revelation how this is brought out in the destruction of Babylon and the safety of your people. So we pray, Lord, that we would be safe in your kingdom and rejoicing in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine a wealthy landowner decides for the people that live on his land to build a system of transit that uses a train. And so he makes two trains, one for himself and a track that it runs on, and another for the people of his land and a separate track that it runs on. And so this goes on, and the owner has a train on his track and the people have a train on their track, and everything's fine. But then the people in the non-owner train look out the window enough times and see the owner's train is on a different track. Why is that? What is the deal? Why does the owner have a track and a train all to himself, and we have a train that's different? Why should his track and his train go to places that my track and my train won't go to? It's not fair. And I bet he's got better food and drinks on his train than we have. Look at us here drinking Coke products. I bet he's got Pepsi products on his train. And the seating, I bet, is more comfortable on his train. And I bet that he's got better views and more amenities. And after a while of talking and looking and thinking, they get mad. Unrest grows. And finally someone says, well, you know, we need to take care of this problem. We need to get our train on that track. That's the first step. Let's put our train on the same track that the owner's train uses. So what is now the main problem with this? Is it that the people are dissatisfied? Is it that they feel unfulfilled? Are they being treated unfairly? What will fix the problem that has now arisen? Well, some would say, well, we need to get them the same things the owner has. Is that the problem? The problem is both trains are on the same track. I don't know much about trains and tracks. All I know about trains and tracks was that train set I had that I played with. But if you're on the same track as another train, isn't that a dangerous thing? What has happened in this scenario is that the people have become discontent. And they've murmured. And they've worked out something they think will be a solution. But what's really happening is both trains on the same track at some point will collide to the destruction of the train of those who were discontent. It's essentially what's happening in the world right now. Not the train part. But essentially, what our world is doing right now is on a collision course with God's train. And the people of our world are discontent with the way things are. And while they are discontent and upset, their train, our train, is speeding toward an impact with God's, which is what we see in Revelation. And the things that are unjust and the things that are unfair and the things that don't please us are making us do foolish things and think foolish things. It's money issues and race issues and gender issues and sexuality issues and climate issues. And today, that is consuming everything, it seems. Here's the contrast when I was a kid, and a lot of you will associate with this. If I was discontent as a kid, and I told my grandmother that I was not happy, she told me to get happy. That was, in general, the advice we got. I'm mad. Her thing was, I told you before, I'm mad. She said, scratch your mad place. Simple song. Today, that same complaint would run up the chain to Congress. Congress would get involved. And a movie would be made eventually about the problem. And awards would be handed out. And suddenly it would become a big thing that my grandmother would have solved with advice on scratching something. And this is what's happened. The world is consumed by covetousness. You know the last commandment, you shall not covet. There's a reason that's in the Bible. Because when we begin to covet what other people have, that is not what God has given us, we go astray. And we get into a very bad place. And we get addicted to it. And there are people who wake up every day now looking for some way that people have done them wrong and they want to get it right. It's harder and more addicting, I think, than drugs. An addiction to drugs. In the perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, remember, we're told that everything was good. Adam and Eve, everything was good. They didn't have to work. Everything in the garden put out easily what they wanted and delighted in. The only test was that they couldn't eat that one fruit of that one tree in the garden. So what, of course, did they do? They were unhappy. They were dissatisfied. What is God? The devil came along. What is God keeping from you by not letting you eat that tree? What has he got that you don't have? If you eat that tree, the devil said, you'll be better off. You'll be like God. So they did, and we aren't. But the devil doesn't care. All he wanted us to do was fall away from God. The devil's all about destruction. And so, we fell. This is the problem. And this discontent is killing us. You know, when we were in school, when I was in school, I had one goal in life. Now, you girls, don't listen to this. Don't listen to what I'm about to say. My one thing is, are you cut up? The one goal I had in life when I was in school was to get out of school. To be done with it. Summer was just like a tease. And they kept shrinking that up. It was 3 months. It was 2.5 months. It was 2 months. Seemed like today it's 2 months. Now, one thing was to get out of school. You can listen now again. Now, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be nice if all we had to do was get up and go to school? And then come home and do what? Nothing. So, you girls that didn't hear what I said before, if you're in school now, you're in a good spot. I know, I was the same way. But you see, being content is good, because often we're discontent, we get somewhere where we end up saying, I wish I hadn't have been there. I wish I hadn't craved more. Well, Revelation 18, as we see, is the end of this system that we live in. Babylon is that world system. And the characteristics given of Babylon here in Revelation 18 is a lot like people say they want. Because there will be peace in the world. There will be a unified world religion. Some people want that. There'll be a single government covering the entire world. I hear a lot about that, people wanting. And undesirable people, Christians, we're told in Revelation, will be isolated, converted, or killed because they don't conform to Babylon. I know that's where I'm headed. When all this comes about, there's an island that the man-made climate change people are going to put me on, because they say that since I deny all that, they're going to put me on this island and it's just going to cover up with water and I'm going to drown. Of course, I'll be eating coconuts for 50 years. Probably. But you see, that's what is going to happen. The undesirables will be removed. And all this will come about when the Antichrist arises. This first beast of Revelation 13. But the devil's not out for our good. He's out for evil. The city of Babylon is great. It's great in influence and size. It's a massive commercial power. People are making a lot of money on it, and they've got a lot of conveniences. People depend upon it. But it's sensual and immoral and unclean and demonic, sick and sinful place. When you're a kid, especially in the South, That first time it gets real cold, you're by a lake and the lake is frozen. It happened more in North Carolina, I'm sure, than here. It's cool. You're there, what? We've never seen it before. And you'd walk out, and you'd be able to walk out on the lake in a way you could never do before. So you walk out on the lake. And they'd say, I love this so much, I'm just going to set a house up here. Put some things in a refrigerator here. Run some power out here. And live here. Kind of neat. But then, of course, the spring comes. And you're an ice cube then, sinking into the water, and then you melt. This is our world. You build on this world, and it melts. And in Revelation 18, the Lord is telling us that what we are making melts. And the devil knows it. But he doesn't really care. He makes Babylon what it is to please the world. The world system is ruled by the devil. There are a lot of little systems in the big system. It always changes. You know, when I was a kid, they were worried about population. That population was going to just kill us all. The population bomb. There was a book. Pesticides. How to get rid of pesticides. And acid rain was a thing. Well, it changes through the years. But it's under the main subject heading of oppression. People are oppressed if they don't find fulfillment in what they are and who they are and what they do. And so today it's money, riches, race, gender, sexuality, and climate. I'm just naming the ones off the top of my head. It's not the only ones. The rich have too much money. Have you ever said that? The rich have too much money, and they need to give it to us. That, by the way, is called Marxism. Marxism is the belief that money is the problem and that land ownership, like I mentioned in the opening illustration, land ownership causes owners to oppress the workers. And what's the solution? To get rid of capitalists and make everybody the same and give the power over to a central government to make sure everything runs fairly. I know I say that all the time, don't you? Let's give the government this so everything will be right. And then I wake up from a bad, bad dream. It never works out like that. But that was Marxism. Well, it's also race. You heard of critical race theory. That's the current belief that there's institutional racism. If you're a white person, you're a racist, or you have privilege. And then there's the gender thing. Those who want to be another gender or a gender that's not one of the two. Or LGBTQ+, they feel judged and unaccepted. They want some justice. And the earth. Can you really, those of you, I'm ashamed to say it. Have any of you ever put a shovel into the ground? You have stabbed the earth. You have gouged Mother Earth. This is the way people view. People are worshipers of the earth today. And all of these oppressions call for a transformation of society. And the devil doesn't care. All the devil cares about our society, basically, is that we're distracted from God. Whatever the current thing is, the devil is a liar. Look at a couple of places. Revelation, we're in Revelation here. Revelation 12, verse 9. What does it say about the devil here? And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who, look at this, deceives the whole world. He's one who deceives the whole world. Look at chapter 20 of Revelation. Verse 2. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. Again, deception. One other verse, verse 10 of that chapter. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's his character. He deceives. He is constantly deceiving the world. The world is constantly buying into it, and so we are astray. And the wicked lies under the sway of the wicked one. Well, secondly, there's a horizontal problem. Horizontal, vertical. Sin has taken a great toil on mankind. And there is oppression in this world. There is evil in this world. Racism is evil. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. If we are not being godly. If you isolate anyone based on race and treat them in a manner that is ungodly, then that is sinful. And I think everybody should be treated with mercy and compassion. We should all understand, Jesus goes over this on the Sermon on the Mount. We should all understand that we're all basically of the same character at birth. And Jesus said that we should be merciful, understanding about why people are in this condition. Even enemies, Matthew 5:44. I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. If you've ever looked across the line from your house to your neighbor's house and said, I wish that tree would fall on their house, that is not godly. If you see it leaning over, tell them about it. That is a high call of love, not for people that are like us, not for people that we like, but people that we choose to love, like God does. And people are clearly don't always do that from both sides. People are oppressed. And there are many things that should change in society. I do not really believe that the insurance company should tell my doctor what medicine I need. I think that's something that probably should change. Whether it will or not, I'm going to hold my breath about it. But there are a lot of things that are oppressive things. Everybody gets those. I think we should even be good stewards of the land. We shouldn't be wasteful and, menacing to the land. And the Bible even talks about a lazy person goes hunting and shoots something and then doesn't roast it, just lets it lie there. And that's considered to be an improper thing. But the solution is not this way. In the world, when people are oppressed, they look sideways. Do something about it, they say. And of course, we got all the problems we have. All we have to do is, if we could just wait till January of next year, they'll all be fixed. I listened to the candidates talking. If the next election, the ones I've been hearing, you pick them, all these problems go away. This is always the way it's spoken of. The solution is not that way. When we grew up, I'm talking a lot about growing up, I guess, this today. We had 3 channels on the television. ABC, NBC, CBS. And where we live, they were in different directions. So, if you couldn't get the channel, clearly, forget about looking side to side in the house. What can we do? Can you move those books over there on the bookshelf a little bit more? That won't work. Could you open the refrigerator door? That won't work. The problem is on the roof. The problem is vertical. You got to get something up there that's going to... We had that fancy channel master. It would move over and point to Greenville and point to Asheville and point to Spartanburg. And it would come in. That's the problems up there. If your antenna's not moving the right direction, then you're not going to get anything down below. Well, that world thinks that once the channel goes out, we can fix it down below. We can't. And the Bible never says to hold out hope for that. Jesus says it this way. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Suppose everything in the world is just the way the most idealist person thinks about it. What if he lost his soul and has that? He's gained nothing. The world's trying to make Babylon endure forever and fix every evil thing and everything in which people are offended. And we all know from living in this world for any length of time that someone is always offended about something. Someone's always unfulfilled. And that's just the way it is. We used to be unfulfilled. We'd make a house. We'd build a house. We'd get a bunch of boxes, cardboard boxes, put them all together, stack them up, and they'd fall down. And somebody should have done something like that. They're boxes. You can't do anything about it. They're cardboard boxes. They fall down. There's always been oppressive things. There always will be because it's a fallen world. We could identify a number of things. What about the oppressed Christians who are being persecuted? What about Christian parents who are fighting a school system at times that teaches their kids things that they don't want them to hear? Those are oppressive things. But the horizontal plane is the devil and fallen humanity. The vertical is where we get right with God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, one last thing. What the end here in Revelation tells us. We see Babylon is fallen. We see all the commercial things. I didn't read all the chapters I did before. But you see the city falls. Everybody's in mourning. The merchants are in mourning. The consumers are in mourning. What happens in the end? In Acts chapter 10, Peter went to preach Cornelius, the Gentiles. The Gentile ministry was opened up. And he said this, 10:38, about Jesus. He says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him, with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him." Who is the oppressor? There's a lot of oppression from every part of the world. Who is the oppressor? The Bible is saying that the devil is a murderer, John 8:44. The devil seeks to kill the lost before they believe and are saved. It says Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The power of death in the hands of the devil is that when he gets you dead, you're lost. When you believe in Jesus who rose from the dead, if you die, you're still living. So that's the defanging of the devil in that way. Because of Christ's resurrection. And the Lord Jesus came to set the oppressed free. Not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, not the United States of America, not Western civilization. Luke chapter 4. Jesus pointed this out right at the beginning of his ministry. Who is he? What is he doing here? Luke 4:17. One day he was teaching there. I'm on chapter 4. 4:17. The book of the, verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, since it was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. Now listen to what it was written, what was written in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Get that? To set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He closed the book. They were all looking at him, and he said, verse 21, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What is he talking about? Not the things of the world, but salvation. The fact that the poor are being poor, okay, that's a problem. But the bigger problem is that they need the gospel to preach, to preach the gospel to the poor. To proclaim release to the captives. What kind of captives? Of sin. Recovery of sight to the blind. He did that physically, but it was more of a spiritual thing. He's showing he can do it spiritually by doing it physically. To set free those who are oppressed. Oppressed by what? Race? Gender? The climate? The devil? Sin? If every oppressive thing on earth were solved today in the world, and they all said, man, that was great, tomorrow, new claims of oppression would arise. And we would all, and all outside of Christ would still be dead in trespasses and sins. It wouldn't make any bit of difference. So since we're oppressed by the devil and oppressed by sin, what is the way to get off the bad track is to have these defeated. And we're told, Hebrews 2, verse 14, that Jesus solved this. Hebrews 2, 14, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, Jesus. 1 John 3, verse 8, again, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. You tie all those things together. The oppression is solved by salvation through Christ. Now these two trains that I mentioned earlier on the same track will run a long time without hitting each other. So for a long time, people will start thinking, well, you know, this is working out. We're on this other track. And that's good. But then it'll collide in Revelation 18. The best I can figure from what I've looked at and read, for the last 170 years of this country, we've been 10 years from destruction. We've had 10 years left to civilization for the last 170 years. Going all the way back to the middle 1800s, people started talking about we got 10 years. And so, in all that time, how many people have readied themselves for that? You know what they're doing? To get ready to have the planet be destroyed or to keep it from being destroyed? Well, they're outlawing plastic straws, you know, the important things. That does nothing for a person's relationship with God. The world targets non-essential personal grievances, and the Bible tells us to seek the Lord while he may be found. You know when the Lord can be found? Right now. You don't have any other knowledge of that. You don't know whenever. Before the train goes around that next bend and the other train collides. Before then. Or before someone throws you off the train. Or before you get distracted on the train in some kind of a magazine that happened to be there. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Today he may be found. Tomorrow he may be able to be found, but I don't know that. But right now I know he can be found. Because you will find him if you seek for him with all your heart. But it won't be in getting all the little things of oppressive world done. It's getting right with Jesus Christ. If you're right with Jesus Christ, even death can't do you in. But if you're not, then we're going around the bend and the train will come. Let's pray. Lord, you tell us what is in fact a reality. Nobody's being brought into heaven by being scared here. Or Lord, you're not scaring people and trying to rattle them. Lord, you're just telling us what is going to happen. That the world passes away and the lusts of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So Lord, we see the struggles and the gropings of the world to make sense of all the wrong in the world by a horizontal solution when there's not one. To be right with you. And I pray, Lord, that's what we'll see. It really turns the oppression around. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand again.